Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast, and we are nearing at the end of this fall series talking about the most frequently asked parenting questions. And today's topic is one most of us wish we didn't need to talk about, wasn't an issue, but it is. And if you've been a mom for more than a few minutes, you've probably experienced a little bit of mommy anger sneak up on you. Some people, like myself, didn't know they had an anger problem until they had children. And then at least I discovered a whole nother side to myself. Well, I'm so thankful for how far the Lord has taken me, but goodness, we need one another. We need to talk about this. We need resources. And our guest, Natalie Hickson, is here to encourage us. Natalie was here on the podcast 3 years ago, and I loved that conversation, got a lot of great feedback. So I'm really excited to have her back on again today. So you might want to grab a pen and paper, or you can just go over to show notes and I'll take some notes for you. You can find show notes at monicaswanson.com/Natalie-Hickson, and that's spelled H-I-X-S-O-N. Really excited to share this conversation with you. So I'll have a few final words to say at the end. Without further ado, here's Natalie and I. I hope you're encouraged. Natalie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, I'm excited to be here.
Well, you were a huge encouragement the last time you were on the podcast, but that was 3 years ago. So today we get to revisit this really difficult but important topic of mommy anger and add to it a few other related topics that I think are going to be really helpful. So before we dive in, can you give a brief introduction?
Yeah. So I live in Bozeman, Montana with my husband and high school sweetheart. We have three girls, one in college in Tennessee, and then one is in her senior year and one is in her freshman year. So, and gosh, you and I talked on my podcast and I was wavering on if I should put my youngest, back in homeschool out of Christian school.
Because you've done both.
We actually went through with it. So
Did you?
Yeah. Wow. And that conversation, I think it was part of that conversation. So the Lord was using you to convict me in that. It was good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, if it's the Lord, I'm happy. I just never want it to be me. And so with that, I do love part of your story is that your kids were homeschooled, but your mom is the one who actually did the daily work, right?
Yep. She's still doing it. Yep.
Yeah, okay, so she's back in the saddle. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And Tennessee, how's that? How's college going?
It's good. She loves it. She's doing really well. She's there to do music. I mean, Tennessee. She's in Jackson. It's between Memphis and Nashville, but at a great Christian college there and loving it. So it's going really well for her there.
I love it.
She's, you know, that whole story with Enya is a big part of my story and what I'm doing, coaching moms with destructive anger and burnout.
Yep.
And it's been such a blessing to see my relationship with her because, and I could just share the story, I'll just go into it.
Yeah.
When Enya was younger, I struggled deeply with destructive anger and burnout. We'll talk about what those are, like destructive anger, in a minute. But it was really just that screaming and yelling, and I'd leave little bruises on her arm and spank her too hard. And just, I would literally be throwing tantrums on the floor with her. Mm-hmm. It wasn't pretty. It's not at all like fun to share that, but I do, because I want the mamas out there who are experiencing that to know that there's hope to overcome it.
Yeah.
It's not okay to be treating our children that way. So, but the Lord restored me. He worked through me, and I was faithfully walking with Him, and He's restored that relationship. Enya and I have a sweet relationship. In fact, one time I was down there at college to watch some concerts and just help her pack up after her freshman year. And I was like, just let me know if I'm in your way. I don't want to stress you out. And she's like, Mom, having you here takes my stress level down.
Wow.
And so that was just a really redemptive moment because mm-hmm. that wasn't the case when she was two, right? I was totally stressing her out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, I relate. I absolutely relate. And so since you opened that story, can you take us kind of from there? People can listen to more of the story over in the other episode, but I think it's important to lay the foundation for what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I took her when she was probably, I don't know, sometime between 4 and 6. I can't remember specifically, but sometime there, I took her to therapy because I thought if her tantrums would stop, I wouldn't get so angry, right? And I just remember there was a moment I was nursing her little sister at that time. We just had her. And there was a night that Mike was putting her to bed, Enya to bed, and she's like throwing this huge tantrum, screaming, and I'm in a door in a room with the door shut, nursing, and I'm just getting more and more angry, and I just scream for Enya to be quiet and to shut up, and my baby stops nursing and looks at me with this horrible little face, like just crying. I'm like, okay, this has to stop. So that's when we were like, okay, therapy for Enya, because obviously I can't change, is my thought, right? And so the therapist was like, she observed her and then she talked to us and she's like, she's perfectly normal for her age and development. I'm like, okay. She's like, yeah, Natalie, you need to be in here. I was like, oh. So I went in and started therapy for about 4 years and it was great. I really learned a lot about, you know, kind of internal processing and what was going on from my past and that stuff. But I didn't fully overcome the patterns of some of the rage and destructive behaviors. And I think part of that really was I was afraid to tell her everything that was going on at home. And in fact, I've even heard from moms just through coaching now and people reaching out. I've had moms write me and say, I've been turned in from my therapist. Like I'm scared to work through this because, you know, they're going to take my kids away. And it's these like sweet, like wholehearted mamas. They really want to overcome this stuff, but they're just so afraid to know that they, first of all, even can, and who do they turn to because that's going to happen to them. Right. And so I didn't fully open up myself for that same reason. And, but the Lord was faithful. I continued to walk with him. He continued to lead me in healing. And, really, I think the hump for me getting over the worst of it was when I started, like I had started understanding how to work with the kids better and kind of process my emotions better, but I still had these moments. But what kept me accountable is when I started coaching. Because I'd shared my story with another mom on a podcast way back and mom started reaching out and they're like, how do I do this? I'm like, well, let's figure this out. Right. And so I started coaching moms and through that, the Lord just gave me more and more information through helping them and how this is how we overcome this stuff. This is how we process. This is how we want to react and what's triggering these things for us. So. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. And I think you said you've been coaching for, is it about 8 years now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you've had a lot of practice and I think that accountability is huge. And I know that's part of the process you're going to talk about. Well, let's just kind of open this up by defining the difference between normal anger and destructive anger.
Yeah. So you heard a little bit about that destructive anger in my story. Mm-hmm. And that's really destructive anger is the anger we're using to protect ourselves or control the situation, right? Mm-hmm. Our kids are being chaotic and we're like, I don't know how to make this stop. So I'm just going to scream because they listen when mm-hmm. I scream, they get scared, right? Yeah. And that's destructive. It can hurt our relationship with them and our husbands if we're the same way with them or whoever, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the like screaming and rage and the spanking too hard, the physical, right? The physical stuff. There's belittling, threatening, silent treatments. So that, you know, throwing things, that type of behavior is destructive, right?
Yeah.
But anger in and of itself is not a bad thing. Like that's an emotion the Lord has given us, and we can use it for good. And so it's that little speed bump to stop and check in and go, what's going on for me? It's okay that I'm feeling angry. So that, you know, a little bit of a normal mom anger is we might have to raise our voice to get our kids' attention. We might feel frustrated and stomp our foot, you know, or just be like, feeling is okay. You're not bad for having that feeling, but I think human. That there's been this thing where, you know, anger is bad. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Right.
Yeah.
That is that destructive anger. Yes. We are sinning in destructive anger when we are hurting another person. We're not loving them the way that the Lord is loving us and has asked us to love others. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's really where I define the difference between normal and destructive.
Yeah. That's huge. And as I shared when we spoke before, this is definitely part of my story. And anyone who's read my books or followed me knows that I've confessed that I think in the early years, especially anger, destructive anger was my biggest hurdle. It was the thing that I brought me the most shame, affected my relationship with the Lord because I just felt so bad and like, what's wrong with me? And that's why today I think... it's really important that we kind of talk about what leads up to that. Part of your story is actually, I know how you were raised. You said that you had some anger in the home you grew up in, right?
Yeah. So my parents, they didn't know how to work through this stuff either. They both had different challenges with their parents, and they were doing better than what they had experienced, right? Mm-hmm. But they still didn't know. And so it was like, I know the heart of my parents wasn't to hurt me, but they had that they were screaming, they were slamming doors, that type of stuff. And they have since grown. Obviously, they are amazing. My kids go to their house for school. Like we've definitely, the Lord has healed our relationship there. And it's been really cool to watch that. And they know what I do.
Which is God bless them. I'm guessing that they appreciate what you do and are okay with you sharing part of your story.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's another piece of that story of the redemptive work that the Lord can do if you're walking faithfully in Him. Yeah.
And I have shared before that I really didn't grow up in a home with a lot of anger. So I think even that could confuse me or make me wonder, like, what's wrong with me and why am I acting this way when it's not even something that I modeled after. But I think regardless, whatever our background or however we were raised, there are a lot of factors that can build up and lead to mommy anger. And I know this topic of overwhelm is one you talk about, and it's certainly one I relate to and a lot of women I talk to. So I'd love for you to just kind of unpack this whole mommy overwhelm and what that does to us.
Yeah. Well, I do want to go back and just share with you, there's many mamas who come to me and they're like, I didn't grow up with angry parents. I don't understand why I'm angry. And I think really the similarity between the two is neither one of you have really figured out, like I didn't, and the mom who grew up like you with your parents weren't like that. You never just fully learned how to process the emotions and what was okay and what wasn't. And there's like so much shame I know that we can pick up and patterns and all kinds of things happen as we're growing, right? So, and then like we have this baby and maybe things are going well at first, but then something triggers us at some point and we get upset. Maybe the baby's crying for a really long time, or you get to toddler years and they're doing their little no and stomping their foot, you know? And so and not knowing how to process through that, you start to get angry and then you feel the shame because you got angry at your child. So it just starts to build upon itself, right? And if we don't know how to recover and process through that, it just continues to build and build and build. And that can be part of the overwhelm is all this unprocessed stuff on not even knowing. Like I feel unequipped, right?
Yes.
They didn't give me a manual when I left the hospital.
Exactly.
And I know the Bible's supposed to help me, but it doesn't say this is how to take care of your toddler.
Right.
It does, but we have to look at it through different lenses. So we, you know, it's like that love your neighbor the way that Jesus loves us, right? And our children are our neighbors. Our children are our little neighbors in our home. And so, but overwhelm, absolutely. I mean, there can be that piece that I just talked about. It can just the whole like managing a household can be overwhelming. And then if we are moms at home and we don't have a job outside, it can feel overwhelming that we don't contribute in that way. It can be overwhelming if we do have a job outside the home as well. I mean, and just the kids' emotions and working through all of the stuff, and then whatever's going on in marriage, are we communicating effectively or not? Is there resentments? What's being built up? There's just so much that we can collect, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've said that when my kids were young and I didn't, well, I taught some fitness classes, but primarily I was a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling mom. And I feel like then sometimes the things that happened were bigger than life to me because that was my main thing. A glass of spilled milk felt like a really big deal if my whole world was that glass of milk in front of me. Now that I'm busier and working in the home, I feel like there's more spilled milk that I just brush it off, but I have new overwhelm. So the home isn't the center of my world anymore, but there's always going to be overwhelm, right? So I'm guessing that part of your work with clients is coaching them in handling overwhelm. Do you have any just like practical tips to start us off in avoiding, you know, handling overwhelm in an unhealthy way?
Yeah. So honestly, the number one thing I go back to with everyone is, what is your daily time with the Lord like? Mm-hmm. Because He's the one who's going to, first of all, give us that peace, mm-hmm. help us break down what is actually going on for me, what isn't. And journaling is really helpful for me. I do a lot of journaling, but it's kind of breaking down, Lord, okay, I think I have to control all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And really, I need to surrender it all to you. And I need to, this is the prayer that I started praying that really helped me in the mindset. Because a lot of our overwhelm is mindset, just like we're thinking there's so much and what we're perceiving to be true. Mm-hmm. And then the lies and the what's true and what's not. So it's going, Lord, I need your desires to replace my desires, your will to replace my will. And it's like we're coming into a busy season as you and I are recording this. We've got the holidays upon us. Mm-hmm. And it's just looking at what is the most important thing for me to take care of every single day. Yes. And so I call it my four non-negotiables. And I didn't come up with this concept. I honestly don't remember where I picked it up. It may have been a coach of mine. I don't know. But, you know, it's basically what are the four things that I need to do every day to get. So when I get in bed at night, I'm like, today was a good day. You know, I accomplished these things, right? And so, yes, commonly good. They are first time with God. Have to do that time with God, right? Awesome. Got to spend that time with Him. Surrender my day to Him. Lord, whatever I accomplish today is what you want me to accomplish. And whatever I don't accomplish is what you didn't want me to accomplish. And I'm going to have peace with that. Just going to surrender to that, right?
Love that.
And then that is also the place where we're on our knees praying for our kids, praying for us. If we are struggling with that destructive behavior, we're asking the Lord to soften our hearts and to mold our hearts and to help us bite our tongue when we need to bite our tongue and give us wisdom and discernment as we're working through with the kids. We'll talk about heat in the moment stuff, like how do we calm down in the heat of the moment? But this is that time where we're surrendering, Lord, help me in those times that I'm trying to calm down.
Yes.
Okay. So then, what physical, like trying to get something in for me, it's like minimum, if I can do 15-minute walk, if I get to the gym, sweet. That's my favorite place to go get. I like to lift weights. But getting a walk in, doing something just to move my body. And then dinner is also one of my non-negotiables. I'm like, let's make sure that there's either ingredients for the family to make their own food, because I've got older kids, so they can make food if I can't. But make sure there's food there, or I'm making dinner, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And we don't always eat dinner at the table together. We did when they were little, but, you know, they're everywhere.
It's a good goal.
Yeah. And then that last one, it's honestly, when they were younger, it was a load of laundry. Like those were the four things. I'm like, if I can accomplish these four things every day.
Okay. Well, that's super wise. And that makes a lot of sense because I know for me, I'm a list maker and I make these long to-do lists and there's just no way I'm ever going to get through it all in one day. Yeah. But I think practically speaking, I could even take those four or my own four and put them at the top of the list and feel some satisfaction even starting with that. That's so helpful.
It is. That's and then good. Now that I am, you know, since I've been working in the home, there's kind of a fifth one there for me. And that's like, check my email, check in with my clients. Like, as long as I'm doing those, that's kind of my work non-negotiables. Got to check the Marco Polo and the email and the client, you know, making sure that there's no urgent deceive, whatever. But so that's just kind of that like little fifth outlier there. But like,
that's good
in
though.
Home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those four things, if I can accomplish those, you know, and if I start to see, so like last couple weeks, dinner was kind of falling off there. And I was like, okay, hold on. What's going on for me? I need to check in and find out what I've got a lot going on, and there's something that I need to put on the table for a little bit.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so honestly, for me, I decided I needed to end my podcast seasons. I'm like, okay, it's time to end season one, take a couple months and get back into it. You know, and since doing that, I've lightened my load. So for a mom without working, who's not working, a mom who's in the house, what's the schedule like? Are you, have you overextended the kids' activity schedule?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Are you doing too much outside? And I just had a conversation with one of my clients about this the other day. We've got, they had a lot of stuff going on with their kids, and their kids were starting to show signs of being overwhelmed themselves. And that's like, they're acting out, right? They're picking on their siblings. They're just having more of a struggle. They're just struggling more, and you're noticing it. And that's that checking in, what's going on for you. And I suggest, you know, maybe we have one or two activities per kid. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, determine what's best for your family in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Little ones. If you have little ones, we just talked about this on our client Marco Polo today. One of my clients said that she heard there's a max of like 17 toys. After 17 toys, littles get, they get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. And that was something that we did in our house. We had buckets where we would switch out the toys every week. Like, this is this toy. And so the kids were less overwhelmed by all that was going on for them. So it's just kind of taking that step back and going, what can we do to take some things off our plate? Maybe we need to cancel some appointments or play dates and just make sure we're getting into our routine. And what are my kids' non-negotiables every day? What do they need every day?
I think that's so healthy. And I think you'll agree that if we're on social media, it's so easy to start to think, oh, everybody's doing all these things, I have to keep up. And I love that you mentioned the mindset, because I think that sometimes we fool ourselves because we're buying into some lie that you can do everything and be okay. But when you do reevaluate and consider, what are my priorities? What matters most to us? Let's get our eyes off everybody else. And then being able to kind of teach the kids to do that. So good. Hey friends, it is time to start thinking about Christmas, and that includes, yes, Christmas shopping. And there's no doubt, there's nothing quite like finding the perfect gift for the special people on your Christmas list. But let's be honest, it's easy to feel uninspired, especially when life gets busy. We've all been there, scrambling for ideas and then experiencing chaotic trips to the mall. Christian Parenting is here to help ease that stress. They've put together a Christmas gift guide packed with faith-based products and experiences all in one place. Isn't that great? I love it. You can visit christianparenting.org/Christmas to get your free Christmas gift guide today. This guide is designed to make your shopping easier and more meaningful. Whether you're shopping for kids, parents, grandparents, or friends, we have ideas that are perfect for every age, stage, and interest. Christian Parenting also has amazing Advent resources for your family. If you're looking for fun and creative ways to keep Jesus at the center of your Christmas season, those resources are in the guide as well. From family activities to devotionals just for kids, you are guaranteed to find the perfect Advent resource you've been looking for. So definitely go visit christianparenting.org/Christmas to get your free Christmas gift guide today. I think it's going to be super helpful. Hey friends, one of the many myths about homeschoolers is that homeschoolers do not attend college after high school. Now, sometimes that is the case, and there are some great alternatives to going to college. But if your child is interested in pursuing some kind of career that requires college, like my two oldest sons have, then college is really important. And the truth is, you can absolutely go to college after being homeschooled, especially if you have great curriculum. That's why I love to tell you about the diveintomath.com curriculum, where our good friend Dr. Shorman teaches amazing math and science classes through the AP level. Now, my two oldest sons studied engineering and data analytics in college, and they give Dr. Shorman lots of credit for both getting into college and getting good scholarships into college, as well as a smooth transition into their college classes after being homeschooled. So a few things you need to know about diveintomath.com. Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective. My boys loved that they had four-day school weeks with short lessons, but Dr. Shorman was able to make it all interesting and pack so much information into each lesson. Also important to note that Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Now, Dr. Shorman's math classes are based on John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. Friends, you want to run over to diveintomath.com, check out everything they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed. Okay, so I've been looking forward to you tackling the topic of mommy guilt and giving us a biblical perspective on mommy guilt. So why don't you just dive into that topic for us?
Yeah, so interesting. I've been diving a little bit deeper into guilt, and just because I've been writing a book and all the things. Mm-hmm. And what I really have found is we've kind of blurred the lines on what guilt is, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So guilt is not an emotion. Guilt is when you are actually, you've done something that is wrong, right? You need to be convicted, right?
You're guilty in court, right?
Yeah, exactly. But true guilt is really when, you know, that Holy Spirit's convicting you. He's telling you to stop, repent, change course. It's being accused of doing something wrong. But the feelings that we're actually having around that is the remorse and regret. And why it's important to understand that is because the more awareness that we build around what's going on for us and the feelings that we're having, the easier it is for us to kind of slow down in that moment that we're starting to get upset. And then we start to understand how to process through. Why am I upset right now? What's actually going on for me? Am I feeling regret and remorse for how I just acted? Or am I out on a date with my husband and I'm feeling regret for leaving my kids? Is that healthy guilt? You know, is that healthy? Is that actual guilt, or is that like, you know, false guilt, right?
Right. Yes.
Which is when we do have that feeling of, you know, maybe we are taking care of ourselves and it's important, but for some reason we have that nagging feeling that we're leaving our kids. But it's important for you to take that time, right? Or the false guilt could also be when we don't truly believe that we've been forgiven. And so we don't fully let go of that remorse and guilt that the Lord has said, I want to take that upon me. I came to die for you to live free in me so you can be a light for me, right? Yes. And so when we hold on to these things, we hold on to overwhelm or false guilt, we're really dimming his light, right? Because drop down, there's an energy spiral. We drop down on that energy spiral, and then we're just kind of sitting in self-pity and fear and regret. And it's not a fun place to be. And then our kids come in and they might be playing loud. They're not even fighting, but because we're so low on that energy spiral, we flip out. We're like, stop, you know? And so we want to try to keep ourselves up on that energy spiral. But one other thing that goes with the guilt, Monica, is the shame, right? And really worse. Shame is, it's that those damaging beliefs and the hopeless feelings that we ascribe to ourselves or that somebody else has ascribed to us, right? And we accept them and we make that part of who we are. And one of that shame that we can hold on to is, I'm not a good enough mom, right? I can't get over this destructive behavior. And that's not true. That's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, I take that from you and you are a special treasure and I equipped you. And we get it. He says, focus on what's good, lovely, true, positive, right? So that we can spread his light and love into our family and to others. So that guilt is, you know, are we feeling true guilt? or did we actually do something we need to repent and recover with our family or whoever?
Yeah.
And the Lord, did we scream in rage? We need to go back and say, hey, you know, it was okay that I was angry, but it wasn't okay that I just screamed at you. Please forgive me. Right. Yes. That's that true guilt. The false guilt is that, you know, we're not releasing that. We're still going to bed that night, beating ourselves up, sitting in self-pity. I can't get over this. And the Lord's just like, no, take it. I want to take that from you. And we have to release that and go, okay, I'm going to try again tomorrow. And I'm going to stop and learn how to process these emotions.
Yep.
And there's that moment, the heat of the moment. Yes. What do we do? Right. And so what I share is sit and pray. It's an acronym. The SIT is the acronym. And we want to stop. Like, we're starting to feel irritated. We want to stop. And if we can separate, I know it's not always possible if we have littles, but try to separate from the situation. The bathroom's a great place. That's why I say sit. Mm-hmm. I shorten it to sit and pee. Typically, people aren't questioning you while you're going to the bathroom, right? There's a lock on the door. If you are a threat to your child when you are angry, then getting behind a door, if the toddler's banging on the door, okay, but if it's safer for you to be behind that door till you calm down a minute,
yes,
then I'm like, then do that, right? But if you can, like, I have to disclaimer, don't leave your baby unattended, of course.
Right.
Yes. But get up and move your body. Separate. If you're sitting on the couch, stand up and move across the room. Do something to get your blood flowing and to trigger yourself to be like, wait, I need to take in, that's the I, inhale. I need to take these deep breaths. I need to tune in. It's okay that I'm angry. Why am I angry? What's going on for me? What's going on for them? And I need to pray, Lord, I need wisdom and discernment right now to work through this, right? And then we go back to what I was saying, like, it's important to know what you're feeling. It might seem elementary, but what is anger? What is remorse? What is sadness? What, you know, and how do I experience these emotions? Because when we dig into that, we start to build that awareness and we're like, oh, wait, I'm feeling angry right now. And that's okay. And then we're going to go into more of a productive place. And what we're doing is keeping ourselves in the moment instead of checking out in rage. Right?
Absolutely.
But okay, it takes that. It takes that understanding. Like, how do I know if I'm getting this frustrated or why I'm getting frustrated? Well, first of all, do you even know what anger is? Do you even know what sadness is or how you've been processing it? Have you been? Are you pushing it off, you know?
Totally. Yeah, which is so easy to do. I want to camp out for just a minute, though, on your sit and pray, because I want to make sure people caught that. And I will put that in show notes as well. We've got the S for stop and separate if possible. I for inhale. That's just literally inhaling, like taking that deep breath, which I know is good for our brain, helps us clear our mind and relax our body, right? And what was the T?
T is tune in.
Tune in. There we go.
So
sorry about that.
You know, what's going on for me? What am I feeling?
That's okay. That's where you're like asking the questions, which, you know, if we're honest, a lot of us haven't really stopped to think about it. We're like, like you said earlier, we want to blame the kid. Oh, it's all him. It's all her. Yes. But actually, why would that trigger me? Why would this 3-year-old's behavior cause me to react that way? What's going on inside of me? Is it that there's something else stressing me out? Am I exhausted? Am I overwhelmed? So good.
Am I insecure because of past things that have happened to me that I'm actually taking that child's behavior personally? Like, it's like, I'm the problem here, right? When that 3-year-old's experiencing normal 3-year-old behavior. So it's like, that takes deeper processing, right? But it's just kind of in that moment, what's going on for me?
Yeah. I love it. And I love that we can pray that God is not surprised by anything we're going to tell him in that moment, that he already knows and he's waiting for us. And, you know, I've taught my boys from a young age, 1 John 1:9, that says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And but I think that shame the enemy can really use against us to then kind of put us back into that spiral of doing it again. It's like any other kind of addictive cycle, right? Okay, let's just speak to the mom right now who has been in this pattern. Whatever age their kids are or child is, what would you say that she could do right now? I mean, maybe this is a moment where she's listening to the podcast. She knows she's had a cycle. How would you encourage her to move forward?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, don't stay there. Don't stay stuck. Mm-hmm. Don't stay in the mentality that you can't change and that you're too far gone. I don't even care if your kids have left the house. You can recover with your kids you can make amends. First of all, you can recover with the Lord, and then you can ask him to help you make amends with your children, right? But it's, you are absolutely important, and he's, you're hearing this because he's telling you there's hope for you, and I want you to start taking that step forward. So do find some, first of all, pray and ask him to lead you to the right person to talk to. It might be a therapist. It might not. It could be coaching with me, whatever it is. I don't, you know, whatever you feel led to and you feel comfortable and safe to. But start with prayer and ask the Lord to lead you to the right person. And then also start taking note, like give yourself some time to kind of process through what are these triggers. And I have a free resource for you. It's the Trigger Tracker. You'll get a link, send them to it. But the Trigger Tracker is this thing where you sit down and kind of process through, what did I do? What was going on for me? What was going on for them? How do I want this to look next time, right? We're kind of breaking it down. What does the Lord say about this behavior? And then there's a spot for prayer too. So it's just giving yourself that time to kind of check in and build awareness around this trigger and what's going on for you. And that's a really great start just to kind of get you to start thinking and staying in this place of awareness when you're walking through. And it's just amazing because as you build awareness, it's like reading. Once you understand a concept of processing these emotions, like reading, once you learn to read, you can't not read a word, right? So this awareness sticks with you. And it's just kind of like, wait, I know what's going on right now. And even if you've made that mistake, go back and recover. Take responsibility. And that is really the first step, is taking responsibility and saying, I've made a mistake. It's okay. I can overcome this. The Lord's going to help me overcome this. And I can continue to walk forward. I still make mistakes, Monica. I still have to recover with my family. I still say things or do things that I'm like, right? And I have to go back and recover with the family. And that's okay, because we're teaching our kids that we're human. We make mistakes. This is how we overcome our mistakes. This is how we make it right with the Lord and with the others. And we're teaching them and modeling them healthy emotional processing.
Which is, I think, a huge part of this. Because they too are going to grow up and have different struggles, maybe with anger, maybe with other things. But how we handle it is modeling what to do when they come to that place where they're convicted of sin in their own life. Well, Natalie, thank you. Do you have like maybe just a story of somebody that you've coached through things that you can share with us? I'd love to hear through these years, you know, I know that you've got some great testimonies. What's a good example that someone might relate to?
Yeah, I have a mama who I can even call her out. She's on social media now. She's encouraging other mamas.
Awesome.
Her name's Olivia, and she's the Not So Angry Mama on Instagram.
I follow her.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. So she came to work with me, and she felt all the things we've talked about. She struggled with these things. She can share her story. And you can read more of her testimony on my page and, like, if you go to see her stuff. But the Lord just worked so deeply within her. It was so beautiful to watch her be faithful to the work that she was doing and processing. And now she's on Instagram encouraging other moms, like how to talk to their kids. And she's just being this beautiful light. And it's so cool to see what the Lord is doing in her life and the path that he's leading her on, because she was faithful to say, hey, I have this situation. I have this problem. I want to overcome it. I don't want to be this way anymore with my kids. How can I work through this? Right.
And that's right.
Yeah. Just another really cool story of redemption there.
So awesome. I didn't realize you were part of her story. So that's really cool. And I just love that. And just such a reminder, everyone listening, we need each other. Like, we were not meant to do this life on our own. Yeah, we need our spouses. Hopefully you've got a supportive one, but we also need other women who have walked down the road you're on right now. And so I think one thing the enemy does is just tries to isolate us and make us think we're the only one going through this and give us that shame. So this is just such an encouragement to reach out to somebody. Natalie, we'll have a link to where people can find you. I don't know if you're going to be filled up with clients, but certainly there's coaches, there's safe places where you can go. I shared last time we spoke, I think, about how when I really came to my rock bottom moment, how when my husband got home from work one day, I just beelined it downtown because I knew there was a church on a Friday night that did a prayer meeting. And I was like, I need to find one of the older aunties and just confess and, you know, bawl my eyes out and say, please pray for me because I need help in this. And that was a big turning point for me. I think just getting it out and sharing it with somebody and then finding accountability and starting to make strides towards handling things different. So Natalie, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great. And I hope this has been encouraging. Like, seriously, don't sit there and think that you can't overcome this, because just you know that hearing this message right now is the Lord telling you, you can do this. Yes. I'm with you.
Yes. And I think you and I would both say we are different people today. And yes. God's done a great work in each of us, and He can do it in anyone.
Oh, gosh. I love being a mama. Like,
right?
Right. Yeah. I definitely went through that season. I don't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love it. It's like the most, my favorite thing as a mom is praying for my kids. Mm. Right. And I couldn't have said that. I couldn't have said that even like 4 years ago. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's really brought me to my knees through this teenage, these teenage years. And I'm telling you, it's like the most, it's like the biggest honor that we get to pray over our children. And
it is.
He gives us authority over our children to pray for them and our husbands. Yeah. And so do that. Just start that habit. That's probably the best thing you can do right now is just start praying.
I love that. And also just like testimonial, I think sometimes now I have my 14-year-old and, you know, he's challenged me in ways that the older brothers didn't. But how cool it is when I see myself handle it so differently than I would have back in the day and be like, I can still keep my cool and be calm. And it feels so good when you come out of a situation that you know could have gone sideways. Like that could have turned into the biggest, ugliest mess. But because I chose to be an adult and chose to be, let the Holy Spirit fill me up and lead me, it went so differently. So that would be my hope for anyone listening. Would you close us with a prayer for the people listening, especially those who might be struggling right now? I would love that.
All right. Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we've had today. And I just pray, Lord, that you will be with each and every mama who hears this message. Lord, that you will cover them with your love and that you will encourage them, that no matter what they've done, they're not too far gone, that you want to help lead them out of the shame and the guilt. And that guilt is good to convict them to grow, Lord, to grow in you and to become stronger and to grow in their faith and their peace, to become these beautiful lights to their family, Lord, to cancel out any of the ancestral or, you know, patterns that they've maybe had in their families, Lord, to fulfill your grace and just walk with you, Lord, to help the next generation, and that they get to be the mom and the person to make such a huge impact in their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives. It's just beautiful generational work that you've given us, Lord. And I just pray that you will protect them, guide them, and help them feel your love and your faith, peace, and to grow in faith in you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. In your most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yes. And if people want to hop on right now and find you, where's your favorite place to hang out online?
My website's nataliehickson.com, and then I am the Angry Mama Coach on Instagram.
Righty.
I think it's Angry Mama Coach.
Yeah. We'll link to that in show notes as well. Well, thanks again, Natalie. I'm sure we will have you back another time, but just appreciate you and the work you do so much. All right, friends, I hope you are encouraged from that conversation. And again, you can find show notes with links to Natalie's coaching and everything we talked about over at monicaswanson.com/Natalie-Hickson. All right, I am excited to wrap up this Parenting Fall series next week, and then we're going right into holiday-related topics. I am so excited about that. Just a reminder before I wrap up, there's a couple ways you can support this podcast. One is by simply subscribing. That means hitting the little plus or follow sign on your podcast app. The other is by leaving a rating or review right there on your podcast app. You can scroll down, tap on those 5 stars, and leave a few words about what you love most about the podcast. Also, tell a friend about this episode. Talk to somebody about the Monica Swanson podcast. You can take a screenshot right there on your phone, share it to your stories on Instagram or Facebook. That is so helpful. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this podcast community. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.